Hello, you're listening to the Bonded Books podcast, where we discuss books, fight over book boyfriends, and the lack of filter is a family trait. If you're lucky, you might even hear one of our dogs barking in the background. Because hey, if we have to deal with them, then so do you. We hope to dazzle you with our discussion while not being hurtful to the authors we feature. Success not guaranteed. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hi, yeah. Honey. Good morning. How are you today?
Hi. Fine, thanks.
Anything new and exciting on your end?
New and exciting? Not really. No. The whole family is still just dealing with a bunch of bullshit, trying to get over the colds and all the different things that have been happening here. I swear the entire month of April has basically been one person sick after another.
You guys are still sick. That's terrible.
Yeah, still I woke not up fantastic.
When I got up this morning, two things. One, my throat hurt so bad, it felt like it was on fire. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? And the other is I had nightmares all night long. So I had been clenching my teeth so tight all night long that I felt like my teeth were going to crack into a million different pieces. And I tried to put my night guard in, but I guess my teeth have moved a little bit since the last time I had my night guard made. And so it was not comfortable. So halfway through the night, I guess I took it out.
Yeah. Shitty.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, so, and I don't know what's happening with the weather. I don't know if it's the weather causing me to have a headache every day, but I feel like I have a headache every day.
Yeah, it probably is the weather. It's really annoying. So some days I'm like, maybe I just need to take allergy medicine and then I'll feel better. And like today I actually took a Dayquil because I'm like, yeah, I don't understand what the heck is happening.
Mm-hmm. Did it help?
I mean, I think so, but I still feel really congested.
Well, I know it's pollen season and it's so windy outside right now. I don't know what's happening. Did you notice how windy it is out there?
No. Not at all. Oh, but I haven't been out since this morning.
No, I was out pulling weeds and then I came in and then I just noticed it's so windy that my trailing roses on my gazebo, all the petals are being blown off and cascading across the yard because it's so windy. And your grandmother's hummingbird wind chimes are going crazy. I'm sure my neighbors love it.
Wind chimes don't bother me for background noise, but
they don't bother me either, so I hope they don't bother my neighbor. And basically the way they live their lives, I don't give a shit now that I'm thinking about it if it does bother them.
Yeah. So
guess what else? You're gonna be so proud of me.
What?
You're gonna probably want to come over and help me. I finally broke down and bought like organizational containers for my shoes. I cleaned some of my closet. I put my shoes in the containers. Then I ordered more containers for the yarn that I use for all my dolls and a couple of other organizational things. And they just came today. Since you're the queen of mad organizational skills, I thought you could appreciate that.
I do like that. It is spring, so spring cleaning, organizing.
I don't believe
that time.
I've never organized it. I'm sick of it, but I was going in my closet and I have a little walk-in closet and there's like one shelf in there. So I just started piling on my overflow clothes in there and I go looking for something and every damn time it's just a landslide of clothing coming down on me. I'm like, I can't deal with this anymore. So That's why I decided I'm going to get down and get organized. Okay. I'm just tired of pulling out a million things to try to find something. I need to things more at my fingertips.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that might help. I did some cleaning out of my closet, but it was more of the opposite. I took a bunch of stuff out of there that's clothing that I'm not going to wear and donated a bunch of stuff like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, why aren't you going to wear it anymore?
I have so many clothes. It's ridiculous. Oh, all right. It's like from years and years and years and years that I just never got rid of. I'm like, this doesn't fit me, or I don't like this style. Why am I keeping all this shit for no reason? It's kind of nice to get rid of stuff.
You know what I just thought of? I wonder if there's a women's shelter around here where you can donate clothing rather than give it to like Goodwill or Salvation Army where they turn around and sell it. I always feel bad for women that are in women's shelters. Life is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, are you ready to talk about this book?
Sure.
Well, I waited so long for you and I to connect that there my Kindle just came back on. Mm. Alrighty. So where did I put my notes? Nope, that's not it. I hate it. Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
There they are. There they are. Okay, do you want to intro the book?
Sure. Today's book is Full Moon Saloon, book one in the Kira Fairwood series by Amy Easterling.
That's correct. That's what it is.
And I will say that I liked the cover. Thought the cover was really, it looked really good. But even finishing the book or reading as much of the book as I possibly could, why the fuck were there two wolves on the cover? Was that ever explained? Like, were you confused by that?
I was confused by so much that, yes, I did think that. I know one of them was Tom, the bar owner. Maybe the other one is her brother-in-law. I don't know. I don't know.
Mm.
But I thought the exact same thing. Why are there two?
Yeah, I don't really understand why there's two wolves on the cover. She is not a wolf. So it's two wolves and then the female main character. And I thought, okay, maybe there's two love interests. It's like a love triangle. Maybe it's a reverse harem. I have no idea. But at the end of book one, there's barely even one love interest. And then the cover for book two only has one wolf on it. So I don't know what the heck's happening with the cover, honestly.
Maybe the publisher confused the covers. And the one wolf book cover was supposed to be on this book. And this maybe was. I didn't even look at book two. There were so many unexplained things. For instance, in book one, it starts with the main character, whose name is Kira, who is meeting her friend Charlie in a shifter bar. Charlie is a human. Kira is so many things, but she's a fox shifter. And it starts out, you know, talking about how they used to be such good friends. And then it makes a reference to the fact that they kind of stopped their friendship after Charlie's twin sister's kidnapping when they were in grade school. But that was never explained. What kidnapping? What happened? Why?
I have no idea. And even in like chapter one, when she first starts talking to Charlie, the line is something like, I answered Charlie in her language. Or something to the reference of like, she's speaking a different language. I don't understand why. There's a lot of shit in this book I didn't understand. Things that were not explained. I don't really know what's happening. So I'm going to do
we're going to do a great job explaining this book. But I didn't even catch that language thing. I answered her in her language because the only thing that I noticed is that she Kira got an email from Charlie, who she hadn't talked to, I think, in like 6 years, saying, hey, can we meet for a drink? And they were really close, apparently, their whole lives. They grew up together and they went to college together. But after they went to college, Charlie kind of cut her out of her life. So Kira was kind of surprised to hear from her. And because she did value their friendship growing up, she goes to meet her at this bar. That's a shifter bar.
Yes, the Full Moon Saloon. So when Charlie first comes up to her, Charlie says, you look exactly the same. And Kira thinks, of course I did. My half Japanese heritage meant I was often mistaken for a teenager, even though I was actually midway through my 20s. Speaking Charlie's language, I shrugged. Blame it on the genes. What did she mean, speaking Charlie's language? That's the thing that really threw me on page 3. And then a bunch of other shit happened in the book that threw me even more.
Yeah. Oh, okay. There was a big information dump through this whole book and very little explaining. And so much stuff, right? So much stuff. We're also introduced to a character named Eli, who I think is a human that is handicapped. And Charlie explains that Eli is Charlie's boss's son. And Charlie is a scientist that works on base. And I guess Eli's father is in the military. And then out of the blue, we get this dump of, which really surprised me. I'm like, what? What is happening here? And how many things are we combining? We find out all of a sudden, Kira starts talking about her Kinsu star ball of magic. Like, what?
Okay, yes. So I got to page, my note says, I made it to a whopping page 9 in the story before I was confused as fuck. And I've never seen this before, the Kinsu star ball, but apparently it is like a known thing. The author didn't make it up. So I Googled it.
Oh, you did? Yeah, because we've read those books before and I've not heard of it.
I've just never seen it before, but apparently a Kitsune does have a star ball. And
okay,
if they are disconnected from their star ball or the star ball is destroyed, then the Kitsune dies. I've never seen this before. I've never heard it before, but this is me part either of like the Kitsune lore. But yeah, it was really confusing because she says, or she thinks, because a Kitsune's star ball was one of our greatest assets, made up of immaterial energy that helped us shift in the blink of an eye. The star ball could also be solidified into physical objects, both visible and very, very tangible. The only danger being that separation from the result sapped my strength as quickly as water drained through a yanked bathtub plug. Now, I didn't see anything anywhere that said the star ball could change into these different shapes or these different things.
But I will say I wish I had known that. Because I did wonder going through the book when this ball would get separated from her. She was collapsing and passing out and basically worthless. And I was thinking to myself, what the fuck kind of magic is this? It doesn't help you, you know? I didn't know that this is really what a Kinsu has because I had never heard of it before. But there's a lot of things I haven't heard of before.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it before either. And I personally didn't like the star ball aspect of the story at all. I found it really annoying. And me like too. You're saying, she constantly passed out or things happened to her. It was kind of weird how her star ball could change into swords and all sorts of stuff. It was kind of weird. But the only person that she has the potential for a relationship with in this entire story is this guy named Tom. T-H-O-M, which gotta be honest, I fucking hate when people go by Tom and they leave the H in. I think it's so stupid.
Well, who knows where does this author live? Maybe, I don't know. Never mind. I'm going off on a tangent. Go ahead.
I don't know. I didn't care for that. Just saying. And
okay.
I did like how his eyes were described. So it says his gaze, when it met mine for the first time, was like an ice pick to the brain. Now, I think this is a very good way to describe intense blue eyes, because I also feel like this when I look at blue eyes. I think I've said this before on the podcast. I don't care for blue eyes. I've like never dated a guy with blue eyes. I don't really like looking at people with blue eyes because I feel like they are this like really weird, like they see through your soul sort of thing.
Wow.
Doesn't your husband have, does Jeff have blue eyes?
Fuck no.
Oh, I love blue eyes. I purposely look for men with blue eyes. That's fine. More for me. Yeah.
It's always funny to me because romance books love to have the, you know, dark hair and blue eyes. And even Rassan from ACOTAR, he has eyes that are so blue, they appear violet. And violet,
I love the thought of him having violet eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be a little bit better, but like personally, I don't really know why it is like this in romance books, that it's always dark hair, blue eyes is what every male character is described as having.
My favorite is dark hair, green eyes, which is hard to find. And then after that is dark hair, blue eyes. But yeah, so the other thing that threw me about this book, there are so many, is that Tom, his connection to her, instantly she got goosebumps, the hair on the back of her neck, she could feel his alpha vibes, but he really wasn't an alpha. That's the other thing that got me.
Tom's like an alpha in denial. I don't really know how you would describe it. He's like the alpha of the town. He runs the Full Moon Saloon as if he is an alpha, but he doesn't really have a pack. He doesn't accept the alpha status. It's really weird. A lot of things in this book are really weird.
I think it's because his mother gave him up when he was a baby. Another thing that is never explained, because his father, his biological father, was an alpha werewolf and the mother couldn't deal with him. So his father was human, but how often do we read that a human parent can deal with a shifter child? They can't. They always have to find a shifter to help them learn how to deal with their animal. But this person has a different point of view, apparently.
Well, and then Tom does things with his voice, or he does things that an alpha would do, but apparently he doesn't realize that he's doing them. He's not doing them on purpose.
Right. And people, we're still in chapter one with all these questions. And in addition to that, we find out that Charlie and Kira took sword fighting lessons from Kira's sister. So they're badass sword fighters. I'm like, what? What's happening here?
Just keep repeating that throughout the whole read of this book. I think there's a bar fight in chapter one. I didn't even put anything like that down. But there's like a bar fight in chapter one. Her and Charlie are fighting with each other. They're using code words they haven't used in years. They're fighting just like they used to fight a long time. I'm like, why are you fighting with this human person? Doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, and she's not fighting with her. They are fighting back to back against that bad guy that's in the book. What's his name? Smoke?
No, Smoke, that's what I mean. Like, oh, why are they fighting like with her, like together? I mean, not against her, whatever. But yeah, so we find out a couple chapters later that Charlie and Kira haven't seen one another in 6 years. And something happened when they were in college together. I don't remember what. I don't fucking care. It was stated in the book. But not a great explanation. Something having to do with Charlie's sister and I think a boyfriend, or they're fighting over a man or something. Something happened six years ago.
Yeah, it is her sister. It's Charlie's sister's now husband, who was her boyfriend at the time. And that is not explained. The other thing is that we find out, still in chapter one, a couple of things. One, Charlie works with a person she absolutely despises in the law keeper's office. And the law keeper's job is to make sure humans do not find out about shifters and magic. And if, God forbid, a human does find out about shifters, they kill them because they can't afford to let this information get out. And her coworker, his name is Rupert, and he's basically a lazy ass, slimy scuzzball in the beginning of the book.
So I thought maybe he would be the second wolf on the cover, but I don't think he is. I don't really know what kind of shifter it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. We're also introduced in chapter two to something called the Gate City Ghost. What the fuck is that? That's never explained, is it?
So Charlie is working on the military base, and all she can tell Kira is, very cryptically, she says, Gate City Ghost. If I told you more, I'd have to kill you. So apparently she's working on, that's the operation she's working on or something. But then later in the book,
program,
the Gate City Ghost is referenced as literally being a ghost.
Thank you.
I don't know what it is. I don't understand.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff didn't make sense. And then there was a lot of time spent on shit that didn't matter at all in the story to me. And I didn't care about certain characters. And I would have liked to have more time spent on explaining things like the Gate City Ghost. Why did Charlie stop speaking to her? Or like, what was this whole thing that happened in college? Like, I don't know. Things like that. So a lot of time in the book was actually dedicated to Kira's sister. I think her name is May or Mai.
Yes. Yeah.
And her sister is pregnant and she has a 6-year-old little boy who is referred to as Grub. I don't remember if this kid had any name other than Grub.
Right. I'm sure he does, but that's his nickname. And so, her husband's, we also find out about, this was another confusing thing for me, is her sister's husband's name is Gunner, and he's described as a burly werewolf who somehow made her May's spark shine brighter. And her sister must be a fox, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they tell us at the beginning of the book that werewolves hate foxes. So
yes,
I'm very confused how they ended up together if innately werewolves hate fox shifters.
So I do actually know a little bit about this. This book, the series, is a spinoff from the series that featured his sister and this guy Gunner and what have you. So that story is already out there. I don't care at all to read it. I didn't like that character. I didn't care about the little boy. That character bugged the shit out of me throughout the entire book.
Yeah, and I guess May runs Kira's life like she's her mother. She's super overprotective of her. She wants her to stay with the pack, but she doesn't want to stay with the pack. She wants to go out and be her own person. She wants to be one of these law keepers. I don't know.
So Kira's whole goal of being a law keeper is to make the things in the world and a better life for kitsunes everywhere. So she's trying to change the perception of kitsunes and be kind of an advocate for them, I guess. And that's why she's working as a law enforcement officer with other shifters. That's why she's interacting with werewolves, all these things.
Yeah, so I guess she spends the night at her sister's and she gets a phone call from her boss, Scarlett, who tells her, you need to come into work. There's been a murder. This is the other thing that isn't explained. A human woman was murdered by a shifter, and she wants Kira to come in and go to work and try to track down who the murderer was. And Scarlett tells her the murderer is Tom, of course, the owner of the bar.
Yes, it's all very suspicious from the jump that it just so happens to be the same bar that Kira was at the night before. A human woman left the bar and was found murdered. So, of course, Kira instantly thinks something happened to Charlie. Turns out it's not Charlie, it's some other woman. And yeah, the boss tells her, hey, this murder happened. And yes, we know who it was. It was an alpha werewolf. And I want you to go capture him by any means necessary. Scarlett, like, knows she's a kitsune or something, because I think she's like, use whatever magical powers you need to bring this guy in.
Yeah, even though she's not supposed to use this particular, I don't know.
So, okay. Well, so now she's going back to this town to kind of confront Tom. She does a little bit of spying on him. We find out from her thoughts why werewolves hate and distrust kitsunes. Apparently, a kitsune can drink a werewolf's blood and get power over them. I'm like, what the fuck? What's happening now?
They can compel them to do things, and they can also get the truth out of them. So, yeah, that's why they don't like them. I guess they're kind of like the vampires of the wolf world.
So I looked this up also.
And oh, okay.
Because I'm like, what is this? This was so weird. So combining this with the Starball thing and a bunch of other things that happened, I'm like, there's way too much going on in this story that it's just so weird. And I really didn't like it. But this drinking of the blood and being able to compel werewolves into doing your bidding or answering you is made up by the author, because I couldn't find it anywhere that this was something kitsunes are known to do. The only thing I found was that a kitsune survives by draining the life force from others, but they drain it in the form of memories. And then apparently they keep those items or those memories in the Starball. So that's why the Starball is connected to the kitsune's life force. Had nothing to do with getting like powers from drinking blood, things like that.
Well, that would have been, to me, far more interesting than making up this thing about drinking blood.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. And then there's more info about Tom and how he handles the bar and his denial of the alpha status. It's said that Tom hands out a paw, like a piece of jewelry or something, a coin, I don't fucking know, to it's shifters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. If we swear, to abide by the rules in his city, even though he's technically not the alpha. And then it says, he gives moons to humans we vouch for. Both are medallions, hunks of metal on a chain Without one, you can't enter the moon room, which is apparently some part of the full whatever saloon. And that also says, have one, then lose it, and you're not welcome in town. So then at some point in the book, Kira receives what she believes is just a paw like everybody else. But then turns out that thing was actually something that belonged to Tom's mother, and it's actually more meaningful.
Yes, because through the whole book, she's attracted to Tom, but doesn't think Tom is interested in her because she's a fox shifter and a kintsu, and werewolves don't like them. So the whole book is them going back and forth and her trying to keep her feelings for him in check because he doesn't care for her. But when he gives her this necklace that used to belong to his mother, which she finds out by his second, he tells her at some point, that's when she thinks, maybe he really does like me. There's so much crap in this book. There's Dixie and her kid. The kid is a kintsu shifter, but Dixie's a human. And Kira thinks, well, this kid's going to need me or someone to help her, because why does Dixie have her kid around all these werewolves when werewolves don't like kintsus? And when they find out this kid's a kintsu, they're either going to hurt her or claim her. And then she's so stupid, she opens her mouth and blurts out in front of all the werewolves that this kid is a kintsu. And of course, Dixie gets super mad at her for divulging her kid's secret. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I feel exactly the same way. She's constantly doing the most asinine things that don't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And it is well known in the bar that Tom doesn't date. He doesn't date. He doesn't sleep around. Mm-hmm. He's very much doing his own thing. So that's another reason why Kira never really thinks that Tom is into her, because Tom is never into anybody. But she does Go ahead.
This really blew me away. This description of Tom and his, you know, every other alpha or every other werewolf is out fucking everything that moves, wherever they can find something to fuck. Tom has decided he's not going to be with anybody until he's married. Is that right? Or
like, so, what? This is something that actually happens at the end of the book, where he explains to her what happened with an ex of his, and that he... And she's like, oh, okay, like, I get it. Like, you know, you're not interested in me. Like, you don't need to explain anymore. He's like, no, like, I'm trying to say that I don't do intimacy unless I'm in a committed relationship. And I'm like, how do you get from this, like, traumatic ex-girlfriend experience you had as your justification to, I don't sleep with anybody unless I'm in a committed relationship with them? I'm like, these two things don't connect to me. Does it make sense?
Well, the other thing is, when I read that, I thought, are you fucking kidding me? I am 66 years old. I have had many lovers, and never once in my life have I met a man that told me, I'm sorry, I don't want to be intimate until I'm in a committed relationship. I have never heard a man say that. So where the hell does this even come from? Are we trying to just shake it up a little bit? Or I don't know. I don't get it.
It's that conversation doesn't even happen until like 97% into the book. So when I say there's barely one romantic interest in this book, I'm being fucking serious. Like, there's barely one person who she's interested in that maybe kind of shows her a little bit of interest back. There's really no romance in this book, but I do like how Tom is described several times in the story about kind of how he looks, or there's little things like she does end up drinking Tom's blood, and of course then she can't stop herself. It's so addicting. She's just like gobbling it down. But then she ends up passing out. She gets like blood drunk or something. She passes out after she drinks it. And I don't understand why that is. Maybe it's because she is so attracted to him. But that was also never explained in the book. And it doesn't come up again that I ever saw.
Well, I think it's some, and I'm just imagining because I had to fill in a lot of blanks here reading this book, that he's her mate. And maybe that's why the blood is tastes so good to her.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. And then we also get a lot of descriptions of his fucking eyes. At another point, it says that his eyes were no longer ice picks, more like moonbeams sparking through a gap in the clouds to lift me out of the darkness, like warm hands buoying me up. I'm sure I'm butchering that word. But then there were a lot of things in the book that made the book hard to read because I didn't understand what these sayings were. Like at one point, it says, the night hardened. How does the night harden? And then...
I don't know.
She goes up... I don't know either. And then she goes up a tree... She's doing something in a tree.
And she
thinks, maybe it hadn't been so wise to tree myself in the face of danger. What does that mean, tree myself? That's a saying I've never heard
before. I'll tell you. I'll explain it. Maybe together we'll understand the book, but I doubt it. So she meets Tom at the zoo at one point, and they're trying to figure out who the murderer is. During this time, they find out that there is something rotten going on in her office, that there is a traitor in the office, and she is being set up to be taken down by someone because she's a kintsu. And so to get out of this, there's a car driving back and forth, supposedly going to arrest Tom, but she really thinks it's a setup to take them both out. Her and Tom shift into their animal form. They're running through the zoo. She decides to go back because she wants to see who is in this car, who is the person that is the bad person in her office. And they get to a cyclone fence. Tom's in a wolf form. He can't get over the fence. She decides, he's telling her, come on, we have to go. She wants to see who it is, so she climbs the tree. So treeing yourself just means, like a cat, you go up the tree and you get stuck in there. So maybe it wasn't smart of her to do that, because if the bad person saw her, how was she going to get out of this situation when I think her only means of escape was crossing the fence and being on the wrong side of the fence and away from Tom? But that never happens. She just sees who... You know, somebody, she thinks it's the Rupert person. She gets out of the tree and her and Tom continue.
It just was weird the way it was phrased, I think, is what really threw me. And then a little bit later on, this is when they talk about the Gate City ghost. And she thinks...
What chapter are you in?
I don't know. I'm chapter 15.
Okay, that's what I thought. Go ahead.
So it says, the term urban legend suggests a lack of veracity, but the Gate City ghost is a very real phenomenon. So that this is when I'm like, what the fuck? Now we have actual ghosts in the story?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
And then in chapter 16, she starts talking about something that's an honor guard member. And it says, honor guard members at least willingly choose to be a kitsune's power source. And this is like a background on some other characters, I guess. And she thinks, I hadn't realized some of the honor guard members might be related to each other. Hadn't thought that those not chosen in my sister's desperate lottery might be nearly as deeply affected as the one who'd lost his consciousness to power a supervillain's demise. This must have been something that happened in the other series, it just added to my fucking confusion of the ghosts. And now there's an honor guard thing with other people and other motives.
This is when it comes out that Charlie's sister, Jessie, she got married. She was dating a guy that I guess Kira didn't like. She didn't know how serious they were getting. They ended up getting married. The guy ended up telling Charlie and Jessie to stay away from Kira, that they could not be involved with her because I believe it's his brother is in the hospital in a coma because he was part of the honor guard and volunteered, I guess, and the evil guy got a hold of him, Akensu, and took his dreams, and now he's in a coma. So Jesse's husband has a lot of anger towards Kira and doesn't want them around her. So he is married to Jessie, who's Charlie's twin sister, who is a human, but he must be a Akensu, is he not? If his brother was in the honor guard, isn't the honor guard a Akensu? I don't know, Rachel.
I don't know, and I will go so far as to say I don't fucking care. This book has too much going on. Is it a murder mystery? Is it a romance? Is it just a rehashing of some bullshit that happened in the other series? I don't know. A lot of the book was really dumb. I had a lot of problems even skimming it. I read it, struggled through it until almost 90%. And even that was hard for me to do. And then yesterday, I really struggled through the last little bit to kind of figure out how the story ends. So there's also this other thing with Rupert, her shady coworker, and that she thinks that he set her up to frame her for murder, but then turns out Rupert did not do that. He's actually undercover, an internal affairs officer working in her office because he's trying to figure out the corruption that's been happening in that office. And, like, the boss is actually the bad person. I don't know.
And the boss kidnaps Charlie. I'm too exhausted to go on. I had a very hard time finishing this book.
Yeah, I did too. And, you know, I don't know if the murderer ever gets caught. She kind of works with Tom throughout the book. She kind of works with Rupert. She practically gets herself killed trying to protect Charlie. I don't understand why. I don't feel like Charlie ever deserved it. Charlie ditched her 6 years ago. There's a battle. Tom finally accepts his alpha status. Kira breaks the pack bond that she has with her sister in order to keep her sister and some other shit safe. Tom and Kira never have anything romantic happen. He tells her at the end of the whole thing about being a committed relationship before being intimate. She doesn't even get a chance to respond to him before someone shows up with yet another crisis, another person in danger. It's like Charlie's brother-in-law or something.
Yeah.
And so the book
he's disappeared from the hospital, or he finally came to and he walked out of the hospital under his own power, and that shouldn't have happened. So now we have another issue.
Yes, even though his fucking muscles would have been atrophied from being in a coma for this long. But this motherfucker just walks out of the hospital on his own. I don't understand. So stupid.
Well, did you not see Kill Bill? She did the same thing.
No, I didn't.
Oh my God, it was great. How could you not watch that movie? So good.
I started watching the first installment of Kill Bill and I didn't like it, so I turned it off.
Well, you're insane, but okay.
Yeah, well, anyway, so do you even want to rate this book or what?
I give it zero. I give it nothing. Okay. I've never been so confused by a book in my entire freaking life.
Yeah, I was going to rate it one dry panty. That was me being generous. I didn't care about any of the characters, and I really struggled to even skim the story. I don't know. There was way too much happening, not enough answers, a lot of shit being discussed that I didn't care about. And it was a complete miss for me. Definitely would have DNF'd this.
Yeah, me too.
If I was just reading it on myself. So not for me.
Yeah.
But I could see if you read the other series about the sister, maybe you would really like this series. But it's supposed to be okay to read this series as a standalone. So you shouldn't have to read that prior series in order to enjoy this series. I feel like you should be able to enjoy this series on its own, but you can't.
Well, I know I couldn't. There's just too much that is not nothing's answered. Too much is dumped in. And again, when there are several books in a series, I do not like when the first book is nothing but dumping information so that you can go on to the rest of the books in the series. How many books are in the series? Do you know? Do you care?
No. No and no.
Okay. All right, then never mind. So so much for that. Yeah. This is why I was thinking and actually said to you yesterday, I guess it was. I'm so confused about the days. A lot of the books that we've been reviewing on this podcast are books that were the free books. And I understand that authors just getting started maybe want to drop their books and have them be free books so that they can get out there and get read. But I have been I've been disappointed in many, many of these free books that we have selected and tried to review on the podcast. So I think we're going to change that, and we are not going to be, unless it's referred to us by somebody saying, oh, this book's really good, you should check it out. I'm just tired of reading these books that are just sucking the life out of me. What are your thoughts?
I agree.
Okay. And now that we are, I know because we were dropping a podcast every week, it was hard for us to find shorter books that we could get through, but that really restricted the pool of authors we were picking from. And even if we liked an author, we wouldn't pick the book if we knew we were not going to be able to get it finished in time to record for the podcast. So by going to every other week, I think it can make us much more selective to go back to authors that we know that we like. Who says we can't review an author more than once? Because books are not always the same. You could like one book and not another book by the same author. I have found that to be true in my case when I'm reading authors. And we can pick longer books because we have longer time to read it, and the pressure is not on us to hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, because I can't take it. Yeah, can't take it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a miss lately for the books that we've been picking. So we're going to mix it up. We have a few books coming up that I think we're really going to like, and they're promising. Some of them are a little bit longer. And should I announce our next book then?
Sure, go ahead.
So our next book is Heart Song by S.E. Wendell. And that's actually book 2 in the series. We did book 1 for podcast episode last season. That book was called Stone Hearts, and that was season 2, episode 25, if anybody wants to listen to that to kind of catch up on what happened in book 1 before we review the next book. But it's my understanding it's a different main characters in each book.
Yeah, it's different characters, but there's overlap. I started reading that book. So yeah, we enjoyed the first book. So why not see if the next book is, you know, along the same vein, or we enjoyed that too? Because personally, I need a break from, I need my palate to be cleansed from things that I haven't liked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then do you want to just quickly say what else you're reading?
Yes, I read The Fidelity of the Bear, which is book 2 in a T.S. Joyce Shifter series. I'm also listening to a couple of audiobooks just to kind of shake it up a lot. I love Stephen King. stopped reading him for a long time because to me, he was getting really wordy. So I went back and I got the audiobook, Mr. Mercedes, which I listened to. And I had forgotten how it's hard to, which is probably why I'm having nightmares now that I'm thinking about it. It's Stephen King. It's scary as fuck. What goes on in this man's brain? It's terrifying, but it's also amazing. So I listened to that. I also listened to another book of his that was called Finders Keepers. And I did read and I absolutely loved it. J.R. Ward dropped the 22nd book in her Black Dagger Brotherhood series. It's called The Beloved, and it has to do with Z's daughter, Nala. And it was 400 plus pages, almost 500 pages. I loved this book. It was so good. I started crying at the beginning of the book. I got choked up and almost started crying at the end of the book. It's really, really good. So I enjoyed that. I'm also listening to The Tommyknockers by Stephen King because when I was younger, I was sort of reading that book. And this is when his books started getting longer and longer and longer and longer. And I couldn't finish that book. So I thought, I really want to finish it and find out what's going on. So I'm just listening to the audio version and I am painting. I turned in, okay. I donated like 20, I think it was 25 dolls to the group I'm in to bring to the children's shelter. And I decided I'm just going to stop sewing for a while because I want to paint. I've given that up and then I wait too long in between painting and then I forget how to do things. So yeah. I'm crocheting 32 different things and I'm painting. That's basically what I'm doing. And nice. You? What are you doing? Oh, one other thing. I decided that I wanted to try to learn Italian. So I checked out books from the library, audiobooks that will teach Italian. And I actually was doing pretty good, but I didn't realize I took Spanish when I was in high school. And I also took a semester of French. And I didn't realize, even though, you know, if you had a gun to my head, I couldn't tell you anything in Spanish. When I'm trying to think in my brain, how do I say this in Italian? All of a sudden, all the Spanish is coming back into my head. And I'm like, this is awful. So I may just say, well, I speak three languages because I have English, French, Spanish, and a little bit un po' of Italiano. So four languages. And I may just leave it at that because now that we're into full grammatical sentences, I can't think fast enough to say it before the speaker in the audio tape says it. And I need time to think. I should just pause it because I'm like, no, that's Spanish. No, that's French. And I'm like, how the hell do I remember one semester? I don't remember the whole thing, but I remember words. Mm-hmm. I'm basically exhausted is what I'm saying.
Sounds like it.
Mm. And you, my turn? You doing?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm really not doing any crafts or anything like that. Like I said, we've been fucking sick. So pretty much for the last like week and over the weekend, I was actually doing a lot of sleeping. But I did do some reading and I can't remember how many of these things I mentioned in the last podcast. So apologies if some of this shit is a repeat. But I'm currently reading Scorched Redemption by Rebecca Hefner. That's book two in that Syndaxa Chronicles series. Mm-hmm. I will say that I'm skimming some of the story in order to get to the romance. That has nothing to do with the story itself. It's just more me trying to get over this cold that we've all been fighting. And so it's hard for me to concentrate. And I really, really like the two main characters together. So it's just kind of my mood reading right now. And
yeah, I downloaded that.
Okay. Yeah. And then I reread a story I had read a while ago. That one is The Andorra Sector by Lexi C. Foss. I will say I reread it because I know that it was really moody and kind of like gets you in the feels, and I'm very PMS-y. And so I just kind of was like, let me read a story that's going to hurt my feelings. So
yeah, let's twist that knife.
Yeah, yes. I get it.
So usually what I end up doing is I'll, when I'm in a mood like that, I'll rewatch Pride and Prejudice. But this time I just reread that book. God.
So I love that. That's funny because for me, I'll rewatch Somewhere in Time. Crush my heart.
That is a hard one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I finished that binge that I was on for the Sherry L. Tapscott books. I read all of the books in her Silver and Orchids series, and I read all of the books in the Riven Kingdom series. I really like her books for fantasy romance, even though they're young adult. And they're still very... it like puts the romantic in romance, so it's really not a smutty read, but there's good tension, there's very romantic parts to it, there's good magic in there, good characters. So I finished the binge of all those. I did read Tarian Pride by T.S. Joyce because she was doing some of those books for free as a giveaway. I thought book one was okay. I wish it was like a little more in depth and a little bit longer. I don't know if I'll read anything else in that series. And I did read, not read, I listened to an audiobook, City of Bones by Cassandra Clare. I really liked the narrator for book one, but for some reason, books two and three have a different narrator. And then apparently book four and I think another one have even different narrators from that. And so,
well, that happens. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really a bummer for me though, because I really liked the narrator from book one. And then I started listening to book two with the new narrator. And I actually found it really hard to tell the difference between the characters she was reading. Like her voices weren't different enough for some of the characters. So I actually gave up on that and just returned it to the library. I'm like, I'm not going to keep doing this. I'm not enjoying it. Well,
that's funny because the Lisa Kleypas books that I binged over and over, I don't know how many times, I love the narrator in the first couple of books. And I think it was the third book they changed narrators. And I'm just not into her as much. And it was really kind of a letdown.
I think a good narrator can make or break. Oh, I almost forgot about this one. I also listened to the audiobook from Zoe Ashwood. I think we had done this book for the podcast a long time ago, Her Orc King.
Oh, and
that narrator, let me see if I can find his name. It's one narrator the whole time. And when I tell you I blush while listening to this guy
read
the stories, I'm telling you, I freaking blush. Like, it's pretty intense. So the narrator is Dan Lee. He's got a fantastic voice. And this book is way smuttier than I remember it being from when I read it. And like I've said before, I love all of her orc books. Highly recommend reading them. But if you want to do audiobook, they're on Hoopla and they're also really good. They're all with the same narrator too.
It's funny you say that because the narrator that J.R. Ward uses is the same narrator. I wish I could remember his name now. I'm blanking. I think it's Francione, but I'm not sure. And same thing. I listened to one of the Black Dagger Brotherhood audiobooks. And I was like, when I was in the car, my windows were up. The volume was down low. I'd come to a stop sign. I turned the volume down. I'm like, my God, I don't want anybody hearing this.
But his voice is, she couldn't have picked a better narrator for her books. But yeah, I was dying. And I'm like, why is it so different reading it, the same words, than it is hearing it?
No idea.
And I'm sure as shit, I can't even say it out loud. You know, I don't know. There are definitely differences for me. But yeah. Woo!
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, all right. Well, so this book was a bit of a miss, but I'm hopeful for the next book. Looking forward to it. And yeah. Yet again, the book has really pretty cover art. Same mm-hmm. cover art who did the Heart Song book. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited for us to review that book. And I hope we really like it, because I think from what I remember, we enjoyed the first book.
We did. Yeah. I really liked the first book. So yeah, I'm looking forward to reading it.
Yeah.
Well,
hopefully next time I'm hoping next time we record, I'm not sick and everyone in my family is back to full health.
I hope so, honey.
Yeah.
I will light a candle for you.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right. Well, you enjoy the rest of your day. Get rest. Stay in
bed. I will. I'm going to go sit on the sofa and watch TV.
Okay, good. All right. All right.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Bonded Books Podcast. You can rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcast. Our email is bondedbookspodcast@gmail.com. And check the show notes for a link to all of our social media.